What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Just tweeted myself, Benjamin, that I bet Ken Rosenthal is beaming right now. He's cutting up little banana slices into his morning cereal, just whistling some Bruce Springsteen. Just beaming.
Do you think he's pro-Dodgers or just anti-Padres?
Both.
Because there is the possibility
that
he goes to the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah,
the Rocky Sasaki.
I heard a little nugget that's pretty interesting.
There's a reason why the Blue Jays were a finalist.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just to be nice to the Blue Jays. Something in their circumstances,
yes,
their pitch, that appealed to Rocky Sasaki. No one's really figured it out entirely, but there's something there, to be sure. So,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
I wouldn't feel 100% confident if I was a Dodgers fan right now.
Well, this guy is a MLB insider, Mike Rodriguez. He's got 20,000 followers. Let's see here. MLB insider, broadcaster, former analyst for Chicago Cubs in Spanish. He said, according to Mike Deportes, the Dodgers and Rocky Sasaki are close to an agreement. So that would be... I mean, if he goes to Toronto... Fine. It's definitely
best of luck.
Yeah, best of luck. I mean, you'll never hear. When's the last time you watched? I love baseball. I didn't see a Blue Jays game really at all. Like, I don't. It's just they're kind of off my radar. But
yeah. We'll see some Vlad Jr. highlights.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
About it.
Yeah. Seen anything else?
This has been a really fun morning.
It has. I can't even impart to you guys how much good stuff we had today. I can't even tell you. I can't oversell it enough.
We've been here since like 5 a.m. working all the way up until the show started.
I got here at 4:30. Okay, I was up at 2. I am so happy with all the stuff we have planned today on a fun, loose Friday.
There's no reason that we can't pivot a little bit.
It feels disingenuous.
It's a pivot. It's a pivot kind of Friday.
It really is, actually.
Maybe we need to set the tone,
Woodrow,
by pivoting a little bit.
Woodrow tweets, bring on the lockout. And we save all this great material for the lockout shows that we're going to have to do. Ugh! I'm sorry, man. I really am. My heart is broken for Padres fans out there. It sucks, dude. It's just such a good lesson.
Do you want to hear the take that is really going to make everybody angry?
Why would I want to hear that? And why would you want to give it? This is what I don't understand about you.
Only because it's true and nobody wants to hear it right now. 5 years ago, it would have been unthinkable that the Padres would have even been in on a pitcher like Rocky
Sasaki. I'm going to come over there and punch
you
in the nose.
I don't believe that.
You don't believe that they... I mean, Rocky
5 years ago, they would have been in.
5 years ago, 2020, they would not... I mean, they would have wanted him, but he would have had no reason at all to even give him a second meeting. There just would have been no reason. And now, you know, the Padres are a finalist.
I'm not going to get excited about being a finalist.
It always hurts more to, you know, finish in second place.
I'm not going to get excited about at least we were nominated.
I'm not excited about it. I'm offering you
it's no,
a kernel of truth that provides absolutely zero satisfaction.
It's a kernel, all right. It's a kernel of doo-doo, is what you just gave me. Here's a doo-doo kernel.
There's nothing untrue about what I just said. It's a truth that doesn't,
you are unbelievable.
That doesn't soothe at all.
I hate you.
No one else has been.
I want to hear about Jake and your appearance yesterday. I really do. I've been waiting an hour, holding all the good, juicy details.
It was fun. I don't like doing TV.
I know you don't.
I don't like it. I'm not attractive enough for television, and Jake is. And, you know, the John Howard's super polished, and I don't like doing television hits. And but I did it because Jake was kind enough to come on our show when we had Jake, Julian, Darnay. It was so much fun. Those guys were rad. So when he asked me if I would go on and do a hit with him, he wanted to talk Notre Dame football, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And he hit me with this hot take that, you know, the Irish don't have a chance, really. And I didn't know how to answer. I was like,
did you disagree with him?
I was like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to get on here and be like, no, the Irish are going to win.
Did he realize that you're just going to do the same thing that you do on this show, and that is kind of avoid the topic?
Yeah, pretty much.
Of Notre Dame football.
Pretty much, dude.
Hey, today on our streaming show, we've brought on Woods, who's going to avoid the topic of Notre Dame entirely,
correct,
even though that's why we brought him on the show.
Correct. Well, he asked me, did the Domers stand a chance? I mean, the obvious answer is yes, they stand a chance, 100%. But Ohio State, they're the Dodgers of college football. I mean, they have the most expensive roster money can buy. It's going to be a challenge. Hence the 9-point spread, like a 9-point spread in a championship game. Do I have a chance? Sure, got a chance. Do the Padres have a chance to win the West this year? Yes, technically there's a chance that they win the West this year.
I don't see it being an Alabama-Notre Dame repeat.
See, and I said the same thing, but a lot of my Padres fandom is brought on by my fandom for Notre Dame. I set my expectations early, and I'm with each year that passes, my expectations kind of go down, and that's not good. You know, I don't ever want to get to a point where I'm like, I'll take my 10 wins and be good. That's how I am about the Irish. I don't expect much. But I've seen them win a championship. Therein lies the difference. I haven't seen the Pods win one. So we had fun. They were very complimentary of you guys. I was very complimentary of you guys. They really liked the show, and they were really kind for having me on. The cool thing was, so my late father-in-law, that's where he started his television career, at KFMB.
Then he came to Channel 10 for a while, yep, and then he went to Fox for a while.
Exactly. So I walked in, and I'm like, hey, so has this been updated at all? And Jake said, no, I don't think so. So I took a picture of the newsroom, and I texted it to my wife, and she wrote back. She goes, oh, my God. I lived in there when I was a little girl. I used to sleep in that room while my dad did his 11 o'clock news. And I, you know, obviously very special. And it was kind of cool to be in there where he worked as well. So it was fun. It was a full circle moment, certainly. And those guys are great dudes. I had a great time doing it. It was really easy. We just shot the breeze and had some fun.
How was the craft services and the makeup artists?
So I didn't get any makeup.
No makeup.
Which I wanted. I'll be honest with you. I wanted it.
You wanted a green room with your name on it?
No, I didn't need all the bells and whistles, but like, I wanted them to like brush me up a little bit, you know, make me look good for TV, and I didn't. So, you know, that's it. But it was fun, man. It was. They're really, really good guys, and I had a great time, and they're very complimentary of the show. And, you know, it was weird. Like, they're giving you props for the professional that you are, Benjamin.
I watched it last night, and I thought, I know this was not over the air, right? It was just on, like,
well, they,
CBS
no, they, 8+. They ended up airing a bunch of it on the news, too. Yeah,
I
and then this
cool
morning.
Like, you don't typically, it's, I should say it's taboo. We do it every once in a while.
We do it. Yeah.
It's taboo to mention any other competitors,
yeah,
by name or,
yeah,
by station or whatever. And we've done that before, especially if somebody like,
yeah, when Dave Rickards retired. Yeah, I was elated.
Retired, you know, whatever. And it's kind of a really stupid radio thing, and maybe television as well, where the bosses are like,
Don't
let anyone
your
think that there's any other station other than 97.3. Like, bro, we're not stupid.
Yeah, people know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There's another station,
yeah,
out
with
there?
With YouTube,
no
and
way.
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, yeah, like SiriusXM. Like, there are a million different options for you. We understand that, and we thank you for being here.
That's exactly right. But it was great, man. We did some Padres baseball, you know, talked about the Martin Maldonado signing, which didn't move the needle much for me yesterday, if at all. And yeah, it was great, man. It was Jake and I had a nice convo before We started about, you know, kids, and he was asking a lot about my kids. It was really sweet, man. It was fun.
All right, so I'm going to push back on this. A tweet from Sonabagon. According to Ben Higgins, we should throw a parade because we were finalists. Meet up downtown right after the show. I'm not suggesting to celebrate. I am simply trying to offer some perspective that the Padres are at least trying to play at the big kids' table.
Well, they've done that the last few years,
right?
They have. You can't deny them that.
I grew up in a world where the Padres didn't play at the big kids' table at all. They were never seen. They were never heard from. They were at a card table in some other room from other baseball teams.
But I think this is probably where you're going.
I'm just going to say, getting to the big boys' table has some responsibilities that come with it. You can't just get there for a year and then back off and say, well, at least we got there once.
Like,
how do you stay at the big
table? Stay there? And the way you stay there is by getting a Roki Sasaki today. That's really how you stay there. And I'm very pleased about the work that the team has done in the international market. That's been great. It hasn't paid off yet, though, Benny. It really has not paid off at the big league level. Well, other than Adrian Morejon, a little bit. It really hasn't paid off yet. So Roki was the one.
They've traded some of the guys in parts of deals that have gotten important players.
So that deserves some merit, certainly.
But yeah, you're right. Where's the giant win?
Where's the huge, huge dub?
You know,
right?
And if you had landed Roki Sasaki, that you could point to Ethan Salas, Leodolis DeVries, and Roki Sasaki as a threesome of players that there's a really good chance if at least one of them doesn't hit, I'd be surprised.
Yeah,
maybe two,
would be fun.
Maybe all three could end up being, you know, star type Major League Baseball players. Now you've got two of them still in the fold, but the two that you probably are less of a sure thing than Roki Sasaki was going to be because of their age, and you just don't know, you know, how they're going to develop and react to the Major League Baseball level and how long it's going to take. Roki seemed like he was much closer to a finished product. Now, he's older. He's 23. He's not 18, so that makes a huge difference. So you just don't know.
Yeah,
but
you don't.
But you
well,
know,
listen.
There's a lot of hopes now on those two guys. There always was. Now even more so.
I try to teach, especially my oldest son, to win and lose with grace and dignity. Right, like to win, learn how to win and learn how to lose as well. And you know, this is one you feel like you lost. And if he ends up going to the Dodgers, congratulations to the Dodger fans out there. Nice to see you guys catch a break finally. As you'll add Clayton Kershaw back mid-season on a pittance and, you know, Blake Snell and everything else. Nice to see you guys win one for once.
The pod, you know, as a fan base, we feel like we need a win. And you know, in that sense, I'll agree with everybody. It's spoiled by, you know, playoff appearances in three of the last 5 years. But everything was going so well up until, third inning of game three of the NLDS.
Yep.
And then they stopped scoring.
Yep.
You got eliminated by the Dodgers. The Dodgers win the World Series. The Padres are incredibly quiet in the offseason. You get the ownership drama and the lawsuit. And now you lose out in the Roki Sasaki sweepstakes. There has been a lack of good news to point to for a while now. And we're just looking for something that we want to say, all right, I can feel good about that right now. And they have not given us anything that we can feel good about since the end of the season last year.
Yeah, no doubt.
And everyone wants to have something you can feel good about. You know, and I'll say, yeah, they have Jackson Merrill. They have Tatis and Machado and good players coming back. But none of that is new. We want something new.
Yeah, you want something fresh, man.
You can point to that is coming back.
And look, man, we're not the only team to not drastically improve this offseason, but I don't really care what the Orioles or the Mariners are doing. I don't. Like, I think it's absurd that the Orioles and Mariners aren't spending a ton of money. I think it's absurd, but I'm not emotionally invested in it. You know, I don't really care. It is what it is.
Don't Do This is coming up next. I think we have found, perhaps, the lowest form of humanity in existence.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
We'll get to that. First Woods.
California sports fan, good news. Underdog available to play in your state. The best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs. Which players are going off? Which ones are ice cold? I'm going to go in and pick mine for the weekend, and I'll post them. I'll throw them up on my X feed at the Stephen Woods. And Yeah, I'm gonna make a bunch, dude. I'm gonna pick higher or lower on player stats. All the NFL playoff games going on. I will most certainly be involved in the national championship game on Monday as well. I'll post those on X. You guys can play along or tell me I'm crazy. I don't really care. Cook up some great fire entries for a shot to win real cash prizes all playoff long. And you can do football picks. You can mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can pick Patrick Mahomes. Under a touchdown, and you could pick the winner of the golf tournament this weekend. You can do all kinds of stuff on Underdog. They are the best place to play. Pick them. So download the app, sign up with the promo code Woods. Deposit now, you'll get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. The promo code when you sign up for Underdog is Woods. Must be 18 and over, present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will. Don't leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die. Do set up a trust or will online at trustandwill.com. It's a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info.
I know you're going to get us started, but I just wanted to say, you always bust my balls for not running with info that I get. And I had probably three people that I trust tell me that Roki was in the bag here. And I did not run
that's
with it.
That's why you don't run with info.
That's exactly right. Why. Isn't that, don't you think that's smart?
Mm-hmm.
To not run. Well, I would feel like a buffoon right now.
Yes.
There's plenty of people.
Because that's how you feel. There are people that don't care.
I wouldn't have pushed you to report that, though. That you've had better sourced information than that.
That's fair.
That's people with strong feelings. That's not a...
I mean,
that's not pretty, a report. Strong had, feelings is not some, a report.
I had three pretty good ones that I was like, ooh, okay. I would be sitting here with egg all over my face. You guys know me. I couldn't handle it.
No.
I'd have to leave. Pauly, I'll meet you in Arizona. Like, meet me there. Oh, bummer. Go ahead, Benny. Get us started.
As I teased, I think we found the lowest form of humanity. Fortunately, winds have died down. We got an offshore flow. I've never been happier to see clouds in the sky this morning. Marine layer, I'm all for it now after the last couple of weeks and the wind and the dryness and what's happened up in Los Angeles. But the lowest form of humanity, and you've seen it on the news, I'm sure, the people who've been looting evacuated homes in Los Angeles and, you know, stealing things.
Terrible.
I thought this was a case of that. This is kind of a subset of that. But a Hall of Fame tennis player, Pam Shriver, said yesterday that she evacuated. So she was able to actually get out some of her prized possessions, like her five Grand Slam trophies, five U.S. Open trophies, five French Open plates, one Australian Open trophy. She put them in her car, and they went to a hotel, a DoubleTree, and someone broke in and stole her car at the hotel.
Hold on. She left them in the car. She
says...
Went to a DoubleTree, left her...
She was just checking. She was just starting to take things out.
Oh!
And then it was like, where's the car?
Oh, my God.
And
it was
she discovered
that
the broken glass in the parking lot.
Yeah. So I thought she left them overnight.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, what happened?
No, apparently not.
Well, that's a quick
Fortunately, her home was not burned down, but now they're looking. They found like the family pictures like a few blocks away, but still looking for the car, which is pretty awful. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who have possessions with them and carrying them all over Los Angeles right now. And it's still the lowest of the low.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, and it kind of ties into this next story. I hadn't heard about this. Evgeny Malkin lost three championship rings. He plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins, Ben. He lost three championship rings. His house was broken into and ransacked. And
is this part of the athlete string of burglaries?
It sure feels
that's been
like
a big story the last couple of months.
It sure feels like it. And he had them like... in his, he had them in his home. Somebody broke in, ransacked it on January 11th while he had a game against the Ottawa Senators. And he did not play in the game, but he was there supporting his team, came home, and house had been broken into. And again, they stole three championship rings. But the good news is they found them.
Well, that's good.
The Allegheny Police, he says, I would like to express my gratitude to the Allegheny County Police. The outpouring of support and concern for my teammates and fans has meant so much to me. They did find those rings and get them back to him.
It does feel like that would be a difficult item to sell if it's stolen. You know, a French Open plate, a U.S. Open trophy, a championship ring that's
where'd
got
you get
its
this?
Name on it. Yeah, where'd you get this? Huh, it's weird because I did see a report where these things were stolen recently. And, you know, who's going to buy them? It's like I love the movie, Pierce Brosnan, the one where he's the art thief.
Oh, I just watched it recently.
It's a good one.
Thomas Crown Affair.
The Thomas Crown Affair. He steals the art, but he just does it for his own personal edification, because he knows you can't sell prize masterpieces.
The Mona Lisa.
Everyone knows it's been stolen.
Yes. Hard to, they say in the biz, it's hard to fence that stuff.
Fence that stuff, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be very, very difficult to fence those things.
Exactly.
These criminals don't really think it through all of the time.
Finally, a little doo-doo this here.
D.D. Mega doo-doo.
You know, the thing about Philly fans, they seem to be the worst of the worst. Except when they're not.
And
when they show that they actually do have a heart. And they did it again this week. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Yo, call me when you get your phone!
Philadelphia Eagles, who've been, their fans have been and don't do this week already. Getting ready to host the L.A. Rams on Sunday in the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. A bunch of Eagles fans have gotten together in one of their Reddit groups and decided, hey, let's raise money for wildfire victims in L.A. ahead of the game. So they started putting it around. They had a goal of 10,000. It looks like they have pretty much met that goal already. In fact, I think they've blown past it, and they're still raising more money. They said, we're still going to kick the Rams' butt, but there's plenty of people in and around L.A., they could use some help right now, and they just want to do something nice this week of the Rams game.
That's always like that
cool
move.
Story.
Yeah, I always like that move. I also like that drop that Paulie plays.
Yo, call me when you get your phone!
That was the guy who grabbed the phone out of someone's hand and threw it over the side of the railing at the
and then
at
said,
the park.
Call me when you get your phone.
So, we'll Phillies fans, you're sometimes a walking contradiction.
Yeah, mostly fact, mostly fiction. We will be there in July, and I'm looking forward to meeting as many as I can.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, just really getting down to the nitty-gritty.
I want it all.
I want all of it. I mean, I don't want to get called a fat C-word. I know that, which I might.
Don't walk around with your body cam and maybe instigate stuff.
We got him. But I'd like to have some beers and with some Philly fans. Very much. So we have a tier one that lives out there, and he DM'd me and said, hey, are you guys coming through? Would you be willing to meet? I said, yeah, man. If there's tier ones out in Philly, best believe. We need a gang, so we will travel in numbers.
Ben and Woods World Tour.
Ben and Woods World Tour.
Looking forward to traveling with you guys this summer. That's Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
You guys are actually traveling right after the show today.
We are. Yeah.
Safe driving to both of you.
Thank you very much. Paulie's not driving. I'm driving.
You're so driving.
Safe driving to me. Safe passenger.
Your car was down here. Paulie, somehow you got dropped off or...
Yeah, I got dropped off.
So you didn't have to leave your car here
for a week,
which is nice.
We have it all, you know, we have it all mapped out like we always do. The place that you recommended in Yuma,
Mr. G's.
I really enjoy it. Little burritos.
It's such an easy drive. Yeah. We've done it so many times that it's so regimented now. Where it's what 2.5-3 hours to Yuma.
Yeah,
we'll gas up here. Two to three hours.
We're full.
We're full.
We are full. We don't have to stop. Do you have snacks? I have everything we need.
We'll be good to go. Get to Yuma. Have some lunch.
We're going to stop in Yuma and buy some Zen, too, because they've banned in California pretty much every Zen with any flavor at all.
That's not the the red wine you're talking about.
No,
ZYN.
No, the ZYNs. And I'm going to spend...
And
I'm going to spend $1,000 on flavored Zens today, so you know.
You'll have your lunch around 1. And you'll do your stopping in Yuma, get gas, whatever, and then you'll get in the car back to Phoenix. It's only another couple hours.
Loves in Gila Bend.
Yep, Loves in Gila Bend for one last pee break and gas up.
I was
going
to say, but at some point, Woods has to stop again. Because even though he just went at lunch,
it's about every
he can't
hour.
Make it all the way from Yuma to Peoria without stopping again, which drives me crazy.
It's an epic.
I can go the entire 5.5 hours, and maybe I don't hydrate enough. You do drink a lot of water, but that second stop always gets me. I get one stop, fine. You can always stop once on a road trip. The second stop always gets me.
I have considered wearing a diaper on long road trips because it's such an epidemic.
I think I'd be more uncomfortable knowing that. Shut up, dude.
Shh. All right, I feel better. It's disgusting. Or the Gatorade bottle bit, which is absolutely repulsive.
I really don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to see that.
Our next guest is a Padres fan. I'm sure he's as bummed as we are this morning about the Roky Sasaki news, but we're having him on to talk about the NFL playoff matchups this weekend and the Padres. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network is going to join us. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods. First, though, let me tell you about SDFatLoss.com, the journey that I went on a summer ago, so a year and a half ago. I was feeling tired and run down, and I would blame my schedule, not getting enough sleep. But it turned out that the real reason I didn't have enough energy and I wasn't feeling great was I had too much weight on. I just let it get kind of out of hand. And I heard about the SDFatLoss.com program, and I thought, okay, this sounds interesting. It's based on real foods, not bars and shakes and mixes. I didn't like those programs before. I tried it. The weight started coming off. I was encouraged. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, and I've kept that weight off for the last 18-plus months. And I realized, you know what? It wasn't my sleep. I didn't start getting more sleep. I just started getting better sleep. I had more energy throughout the day. My joint pain, my back pain, just went away. It wasn't magic. It was losing the weight. There are so many benefits. It's not just how you look in the mirror. It's how you feel. Lower your metabolic age by up to 17 years by Strict Strategies, the proprietary plan from SDFatLoss.com. Get a free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. Meet the great counselors. They support you every step of the way. There's no injections. It's not a fad. It's a real, sustainable, life-changing plan. And right now, get $200 off through January 31st for the new you in the new year with their new year special at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. You know me, Woods. I love it when a San Diego guy goes out into the world and makes it big, especially in this business, the media industry. And one of those guys who's done really well is Daniel Jeremiah. You see him on the NFL Network. Super smart guy. You see him breaking down the draft, covering the NFL playoffs and more. And guess what? He joins us right now here on 97.3 The Fan via Zoom and our chat as well. DJ, it is great to have you on this morning. I know you're a Padres fan, so I'm sorry we didn't have any good news for you today.
Well, I'm glad I can start sleeping again because... Yes. I don't know about the time change. I'm not smart enough to know what time it is in Japan, but I just had it in my mind that somehow this story was going to break in the middle of the night. So the last few days, I'm waking up, and every time I wake up in the night, I check my phone to see if there's any news, and I'm like, what is wrong with me? Just get this over with.
Yep.
I just want it to be over with. And now I know Paulie was texting me this morning about it, and he was like, I hope he doesn't go to Toronto. And I'm like, no. I want him to go to the Dodgers.
I said, I hope he does go to Toronto.
Yeah.
I want him to go to the Dodgers.
Really?
I want him to be on the Dodgers. I want them to be the most vilified, hated team in all of Major League Baseball. They can only throw one of those guys at a time. Yep. So I don't care if you got 10 Cy Young Award winners. You can only put one out there at a time. And if we could just get them once, if we could just get them once in the tournament over the next 3 or 4 years with this colossal team that they've built, it would be the sweetest thing we've ever tasted.
So you're saying the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
That's right.
That's what DJ's going for here.
That's my motto there. All right, and so I think also there's pressure that comes with having everything that you've wanted.
Yes.
Like there's pressure that gets thrown on top of what already is. You know, viewed as the best team in baseball. Now you're viewed as the team that's indestructible.
Well,
that's pressure.
It's like I said earlier, you know, where'd you guys go? You went from 112 wins to 116, 117. I mean, it's true. It's the pressure is immense on that team. And if they don't win the World Series, everyone in the country will point and laugh and mock. I mean, it's just the way that it is. It is the true evil empire. The Yankees were the evil empire of the 90s. This is, in my opinion, way more evil because you're deferring billions of dollars. Like, the Yankees at least had to stroke those checks, right? Like, that's why people are looking at this going, no, I said it to a Dodger fan the other day. I said, spending money has always been cool, and it will always be cool. Spending money on your team is badass. Deferring $1 billion of it is what makes people go, come on, what are we doing? You know, and so I agree with you immensely. You've got to win. You got to win 120 games and the World Series, and you really can't even win the World Series in 5, or people are going to mock you. It's crazy.
Well, and from the Padres side of things, like 115, 100, whatever, it's 3 games. You're going to see them in a 5-game series, yep, which we've done twice now. We're going to see them in a 5-game series, and or 3 times, right? We've seen them in 3 5-game series, 20, 22, and 24.
Yeah.
So you've got to win 3. You got to beat them 3 times, and that knocks them out of the tournament.
Daniel, as long as we're on this topic, I have come around to the belief in the last couple of years that the NFL kind of has it more right than Major League Baseball when it comes to the hard cap and the fact that every team really has to spend the same amount of resources on the product on the field, and it leads to, I think, more parity and more excitement. You know, in baseball, they have their union's been strong, and they have pushed against a hard cap for a long time. Do you think that's hurting baseball, and do you think it's one of the things that has made the NFL the king of sports in this country over the last couple of decades?
That's been undisputed. It's not even close. I mean, we get the PR stuff that comes out from the office. It goes on our emails. And I know it wasn't that long ago because at the end of the year, it was like 74 of the top 100 most watched programs were NFL games. Wow. Like, it's the king of the mountain. And there's nothing even close. And that's an election year. So much of those other ones are all election coverage. But, yeah, I mean, Kansas City's a dynasty in the NFL right now. Green Bay is, you know, has been a Super Bowl champion. Like, that's the equivalent of the Brewers and the Royals, you know, going on like long runs. I know the Royals got a World Series, but it wasn't sustainable. So every team, and that's what I get to do with the draft, is the NFL is in the selling business, and they can sell hope to every single team every single year, because you are one Jaden in from going from the outhouse to the penthouse in one season. And that's a powerful thing to sell.
It really is. Talking to our pal Daniel Jeremiah here on Ben and Woods this morning, and looking at the matchups this weekend, you know, I feel insane. I know Kansas City's a dynasty. They have not been the Kansas City Chiefs that we're used to, right? Down year for Kelce, down year for Mahomes, even though, I mean,
except for all the winning.
Except for all the winning, right. I mean, they're finding ways to win games, and, you know, they've gotten bailed out a couple of times. It happens. It's going to happen in the course of a long season, but I don't know what it is. I rolled with Houston in the points because it's a lot of points for a playoff game, and I kind of like some of the dogs this weekend. What about you?
Well, I'll start with that game. You know, I saw Houston up close and personal last week, and they are aggressive. Their front is really good. They've got two outstanding corners. I think they're going to be able to keep the score down from the Kansas City side of things. I don't see Kansas City going out there and throwing up 35 points. But the other side of it that, you know, that why I would lean towards the Chiefs winning the football game is Chiefs defense is so good. And Chris Jones, for all of the talk about Andy and Pat and Kelce and how they can tap into another gear in the postseason, Chris Jones is, I've seen him just take over games, including Super Bowls, and dominate games. And Houston's offensive line does not match up well with him. So I think that's a low-scoring game. I think Kansas City wins, but I don't think this is some runaway freight train. And the, you know, the scary thing is, if you're watching the game and you've watched Kansas City at all over the year, just know that somehow, some way, it'll be a close game, and the ball will be in Patrick Mahomes' hands with a minute and 40 seconds, and you can just go get in your car, go to the golf course and hit some balls, because I can tell you exactly how that thing's going to end.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network is with us. And the second game on Saturday, the Commanders and the Lions. I mean, what a turnaround story for both of these franchises. I mean, both consider the absolute bottom of the barrel for decades almost in the NFL. And now they're battling for a spot in the NFC Championship game. I feel bad I have to pick between the two teams. I love both of these stories. You mentioned Jaden Daniels. I love that story. We love Dan Campbell and what he's brought to the Lions. Give me your thoughts on this matchup.
I think the Lions just are the more talented team. So, and they're at home. So, I mean, I think you lean in that direction. But what Washington's done, I said this the other day, is like it's a North Star for a team that's looking to get on the right track. You're looking to rebuild. Obviously, you nailed the quarterback. That's a key part of it. I don't want to dismiss that. But you hired the right coach, the right general manager. You went out and found a nice blend of veteran, you know, guys who've won Super Bowls, have been instrumental in those, with Bobby Wagner and Zach Ertz. You know, a lot of people thought those guys were on the downside, and maybe they're not what they were. But there's so much value in having those guys to help these young guys in these moments. So I think they've completely overachieved. I think what they've accomplished is incredible, but I think it's going to be a tall order for them against Detroit. I think Detroit's just a better football team.
Daniel Jeremiah on with us right now, talking a little NFL playoffs this weekend. It feels like a weird pivot after the Roki news, but Daniel's also a big Padres fan, and just kind of another bummer of a day. But, you know, we will regroup. The sun will rise tomorrow, I guess. But the game I'm most excited about, probably everybody, Baltimore at Buffalo. I love both of these teams. I love them. I mean, I love watching both of these teams play every single week. There's no loser for me. I'm whoever wins, I'm going to be elated for. I really like both teams, the coaches, everything about them. A 1-point spread in this game at Buffalo. Both of these teams are poised to take that next step, like Super Bowl contenders. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, I'll tie it together with the way we started. This game feels like Padres-Dodgers to me. Whoever comes out of this game wins it. I think these are the teams that are playing the best right now. These quarterbacks, are just lights out, and it just it does seem a little unfair that the league allowed Derrick Henry to join forces with Lamar Jackson. Like,
right.
They should not be allowed to play together. So that's like a cheat code. But Josh Allen's, you know, Josh Allen is so dialed in and playing at such a high level, and he can take over, you know, a football game. That Baltimore's more talented, but then you've got Josh who's playing lights out, and Buffalo's at home. I think it's the best. I think it's the best matchup we're going to see the entire playoffs. So I ended up picking Buffalo as the home team, but I don't feel great about that. I think it's a pick 'em, and I think it's going to be the best game we're going to get in the entire playoffs.
So I have to ask, because I saw you tweeted yesterday. I responded to you that you were studying film of, you know, college offensive linemen in preparation for draft coverage. It's still months away, but you're going to be super prepared, and you're going to have your own board, so you're going to have it dialed in for the NFL Network. That's the part of football that has always remained pretty impenetrable to me. Well, offensive line play and how you can separate. I mean, obviously, you know, a big guy, he's strong, he looks good. But how do you do that? How do you, the tiny nuance between a 320-pound guy and a 315-pound guy and how they move, to me, it just seems like that has got to be the toughest thing to just break down film endlessly of guy, like offensive linemen, and figure out which one you think will be successful on the next level.
Well, I would say there's two lessons I learned as a young scout, and it's one of the benefits of having, you know, older scouts. We had a guy, Ron Marcinak, who scouted in the NFL for 50 years. I mean, he was, you know, with the Cowboys going way back, and all those Hall of Fame players, he had a big part of drafting. And he gave me two pieces of advice on offensive line. He said, number one, whatever you grade them, whatever you think they are, you need to push them up, you know, basically around higher, because there's a premium on that position, and you're gonna think that some perfect prospect exists at that position, which is not true. So you need to elevate your grade a little bit of what you think it is. And the second lesson, which is the most important, which is don't overvalue athleticism and don't undervalue, you know, toughness, intelligence, and just instincts. So if I look at offensive linemen I've missed, Benny, it's been because I got enamored with how long he was and how rangy and athletic he was. Well, if he can't anchor down versus a bull rush, none of that stuff matters. If they're going to run twists and he doesn't have any instincts and he can't pick up a twist to save his life, that's not going to work. But I can find a guy who started in the Big Ten for 40 games, and maybe he's a little bit stiff, and maybe his arms aren't quite as long, but I know he's smart, and he's tough, and he's durable. Those guys play forever in the NFL.
Sounds like Ben Higgins. You were just describing. He's a little stiff.
Yeah,
he's tough, stiff. And he's got short little dinosaur arms.
I would never get called for holding because he's never see my arms because they're so short.
He gets T-Rex arms when the bill comes and when he has to block a bull rusher on the side.
You know when I notice, when I really notice and appreciate a good offensive lineman, usually when they're giving their Hall of Fame speech. That's about the time that I start noticing an offensive lineman, and I always feel like a bad football fan because of it. I get enamored with the running backs and the skill, you know, the wide receivers and the quarterback, obviously, and it's the line play, you know.
There's two types of offensive linemen, and you can just think about this when you're watching the games on this weekend. There's the type of offensive lineman that knock defenders down, and there's the type of offensive lineman who help quarterbacks up. So just put them in one of those two camps.
Hey, give me your hand. All right, pick you up. Daniel, really
ben,
appreciate
also
it.
Neither of those.
Yeah, he's also
he's
neither
not
going
to be able to knock you down, and he probably won't help you up.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun. Appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you, DJ.
Hey, the sky's not falling. Look at this lineup. We're going to be fine.
Look at that. Positivity. Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. You know, we probably should have waited and done our picks after we talked to Daniel. I feel
good idea.
Feel like I would have. But then again, we would have just all said, yeah, I'll take what Daniel's taking.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
There would have been no opinions of our own because he knows so much more about this stuff than we do. But some good thoughts on those games. We can talk a little bit more about it right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. My biggest takeaway there, Woods, was when he said the winner of the Bills-Ravens game feels like is going all the way. Like, this is the real Super Bowl, essentially.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, game. Remember, one of those teams likely then has to go into Kansas City the following week. Both of them have had their shots at the Chiefs in recent years, and they've always come up short against Patrick Mahomes, or almost always come up short in the playoffs against Patrick Mahomes. And I guess I just want to know what's going to be different this time for either Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson when they have to go into that game.
Maybe nothing.
Lamar had him at home last year, and they could not could not solve the puzzle of the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Maybe nothing. I mean, there's, you know, look, the joke about the Chiefs getting, the Chiefs have gotten bailed out on a lot of stuff this year, and they are a great team. Make no mistake, I'm not taking one thing away from them at all. But at some point, that luck has to run out, right? And we had a Chiefs fan in the chat. He's like, look, everybody hates a winner unless it's your team. Been a Chiefs fan his whole life. Yeah, man, you get the target on your back. Everyone is gunning for you, but you can't overlook this game if you're one of those teams. This is going to be, if you're the Chiefs, you're like, if we handle business against Houston, we're going to have one of these two battered teams coming here that had just played their asses off. You know, it gives them a good chance to win, but I love, out of those three teams, Ben, in the way that they've looked this season, I have the Chiefs third.
I kind of agree with you in terms of what we've seen. Does it change in the playoffs is my question. I think what's the similarities about those three teams and why they're always so successful is that when the plays end up being broken, anyone can call, you know, hey, called a great play, my guy was wide open.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But most NFL plays end up broken in some way. First read was not there. Second read is not there. All three of those teams make things happen on the busted plays, whether it's, you know, Josh Allen then just scrambling and running through guys for, you know, 10 yards, whether it's Patrick Mahomes just staying up long enough to finally flip the ball forward and pick up the first down, or it's, you know, Lamar Jackson essentially doing the same thing, beating you with both his legs and his arms, and of course
Mark
he can hand,
just break off a 40-yard run like it, out of nowhere.
It's those plays that I think separate those three teams from a lot of the other teams. Things don't have to go perfectly for the Chiefs and the Bills and the Ravens to still put points up on the board.
Yeah, it's going to be a tall order. I mean, think about the Bills, and they're making the point in the chat too. With Derrick Henry back there, you pound Derrick Henry as much as you can. Lamar doesn't have to be that hero, but he can be. Imagine just pounding Derrick Henry and then play action. You got Lamar Jackson back in the pocket, slinging it down the field. I mean, it's going to be a tall order.
I think if you're the Bills, especially knowing it's going to be freezing cold and snowy, you sell out completely against Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you have to.
And you make Lamar Jackson beat you with his arm.
Which he absolutely can.
And if he does, tip your cap and you go, that's the MVP right there. Lamar Jackson just beat us.
Indeed.
But you can't get into a game where Derrick Henry is just smashing you every single play for 8 yards. And I mean, there's just no way to win a game like that. So you have to sell out, load the box, target in, and make Lamar Jackson run a few times.
Sure.
You know, hit him a few times. You know, wear him out in that cold weather. Josh Allen's going to do the same thing. You know, he's a strong runner. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a quarterback who's as strong of a runner as Josh Allen. You get tired of tackling that guy over and over again, especially on a 10-degree day. It's going to be miserable out there, which is what makes it such great viewing for us.
Yeah, I can't
wait. Watching other people in misery is a lot more fun from your own warm couch on a nice Sunday in January.
Well, I think that's what Dodger fans are doing to us right now, watching us in misery, and they love it. If you missed the news, Roky Sasaki not coming to the Padres. It's still unofficial, but it's
the reports.
The reports do say that the Padres are moving on and signing some international prospects instead, probably because they've been informed that Roky does not want to bring his talents to San Diego, and it's now down to L.A. and Toronto. Feels like a fingernail's chance that he ends up in Toronto, I would imagine, but certainly the possibility still exists, but it seems like it's down to 50-50 for Roky Sasaki.
Little nugget here from our friend Brian O'Grady just tweeted. He says, I faced Yamamoto, Senga, and Roky multiple times while playing in Japan. Roky was the toughest to face, in my
opinion.
Even though I obviously obviously knew he threw hard, it still felt sneaky. Landed splitters in the zone, long and lanky frame. Only faced him in Chiba, which I thought was a very tough place to see the ball with their batter's eye, but I think he will be a monster in MLB. I guess what I'm really saying is I hope he doesn't end up a Dodger.
Dude, that's the second turd nugget you've handed me this
morning. Well, at least he said at the end he was hoping he didn't end up a Dodger.
That doesn't do anything for me.
Should have had BOG on at some point to talk about.
I love BOG.
Haven't talked to him in a while.
We have, and hope he's doing well.
I do too.
Yeah, there he goes.
All right, we'll come back. We will continue our discussion of our top story, Roki Sasaki mourning here in San Diego. And I mean M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, correct, not M-O-R-N-I-N-G. With Ben and Woods going until 10 o'clock. We also got Take on Woods ahead on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.